So welcome to Live with Linda and Friends, September 6th already. And we have two new friends with us today, Connie Bowles, hi, and Rowan. They and them, does that mean you're together or maybe what you could do is, would you introduce yourself first, Connie? Tell us how you came. I think you came through Alex's notice, correct? And what is your background with T-Touch?
My name is Connie Bowles. I live here in Norfolk, England. And I started learning about T-Touch with Alex in 2019. I met him in Norfolk when he came down to do a course, and I joined his course. And at the end of it, he talked about T-Touch, and somehow, I don't know why, but my ears stood on end. And I thought, I have to listen to this. And I did, and I listened. And then I found out on Facebook he was doing some more courses. And when I realized who it was, I booked. I phoned him and I said, can I join you? I need to learn more, please. He said, yes, certainly. So all the courses that he's done since then that have been dealing with T-Touch, I've been there. I've had to learn, I've had to listen. And I've used the T-Touches on my girl, my dog. She's now 15. She's been through quite a bit recently, so it's all helped. And I just want to learn more to help me, to help her, and some other people as well who I know who need help too.
Okay, thank you. And Rowan, how about you? What does that mean, they, them?
They're pronouns, I'm non-binary, so I prefer to be called either they or them. T-Touch, again, I'm from Alex's work of T-Touch in the UK. I'm learning T-Touch again for my animals, but I'm also a grief coach that specialises in helping people who are grieving the loss of animals. And I thought it might be interesting to find out how T-Touch can help with people and possibly help with the grief work that I do. So, and I'm based in Lancashire in the northwest of the UK.
And we have something noise going on, like a dog in the background. What is that?
Yes, that's my singing.
Okay. Lovely. Okay, so perfect. That's quite interesting. Ava, welcome back. We missed you last
week. Hello. Hi, yeah, I'm back. I'm back in Israel after a wonderful time in France and in Switzerland.
Beautiful. And a great time with Teresa, I heard.
Yes, it was fantastic, really. Yeah. And a good insight in the T-Touch. So now I feel much more comfortable. And we had just had a wonderful time with her. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Very grateful.
Lovely. Sandra, how are you? You're at home? Are you working at home? Are you there? Is that your picture? Okay, there you are. So maybe she can't hear us. Anna, hi, welcome. Lovely to see you. And Jewel, as always. Beautiful. And Harriet, hi. So I am, this interesting, we're looking at some of the details of T-Touch today. And one of the details is that I don't know if any of you remember a case study that we had from our the practitioner in London who was working in a hospital. And she had had, what she does is coach with families who have other family members in the hospital. And she'd had great success with bringing him out of, you know, to a place of calmness with the heart hugs. And then Becky, I have to interrupt myself. I didn't see you. I didn't welcome you. Hi. Can't do that. So the thing is that she had this person, I think her name was Melody. She was like a year or a year and a half ago on this Tuesday. And she'd had great success, but with one person she didn't have success, and she realized it was the difference that she had not started the leading the family through the heart hug by taking imagining a clock on the wall. And so I started thinking about this, because in some of the instructions in, I think in the, maybe in the dog book, we talk about putting a clock on your chest, imagining the clock on your chest. And we always do that anyway, because then we imagine that clock and we specifically say where the six, the nine, the 12, and the three are. And so I was thinking, what is the difference? Like, there is some difference between imagining that clock on the wall and then imagining taking it physically and putting it here on your chest, which is your heart chakra. So this is the question. Does anybody have any ideas? Like, what would be the difference? Hi, Catherine. Welcome. Anybody can think of the difference of the impact, the effect, if you imagine that clock up out on the wall and then physically imagine taking it and putting it here? Any ideas, any thoughts, any feelings about it?
Energetic connection.
Anna.
Well, I always appreciated when you talk about our sympathetic, what's our attention? And how do we, you know, when you said about, do we start at six? You know, and sometimes on certain places, do you start at three? And you realize, are you going down towards six? Are you going up towards, you know, 12? And I always think to myself, I have to figure out where I'm starting. And I know that first quarter is where I'm gently going to return to. And, you know, most of the time I'm really starting at six, but occasionally, depending where I'm at, I may start at nine or, you know, noon. And then I have to always think to myself, that sympathetic, where am I starting and where's that quarter? Of course, when you start at six, then you realize if you go to the right, you're going to nine. If you're going up to the left, you're going to three. And I've just always appreciated how you talk about that. And one thing I wanted to say, it came back to my consciousness again. Am I going towards the center of me into my heart area? You know, what direction, where am I wanting to go? And I've thought so much about what I learned in Feldenkrais is always take a moment after you've, you know, done your Tellington tea touch and just rest there and feel how that's affected you. And, you know, every so often I'm just going on my, you know, doing this, and because, you know, all the time I'm clipping everything, and I just dug potatoes, pulled the potatoes out, and I was standing and moving like this. Everybody else was crawling. And Betsy was so upset with me because I wasn't crawling. I was moving through my hips, and I would turn around and I would get down and pull them up. And she was very upset with me because after all the years of her doing potatoes for 20 years, everyone crawls. So I had to giggle at myself. So I just want to say thank you so much. This, you know, between Feldenkrais and then emerging into Tellington Tea Touch, it has literally changed my life to learn to forgive myself and love myself more. So, Linda, thank you so much.
Beautiful. So let us think, like, there are times when you, let's think, why do we start at 6 o'clock, and where is the 6 o'clock? And why? Where on the body? Let's just speculate. So, Rowan.
6 is towards the base, so perhaps grounding to do with the root chakra.
toward the ground. Yes. Wherever that is, which means if you were a person lying on your side, it would not be toward the feet, would it? And that is so interesting. So the reason that we do that in the direction that wherever you are is, and there is an exception to that, actually, that's interesting. I just thought about it. I'll talk about it later. But the reason we do is, the reason that I did this from the very beginning is when you, like you're on the arm, you would think that it would go toward where it would be if you were standing, right? And it could be there. And I want you to try that on your arm and see, because if I imagine the 6 o'clock in the direction that would be the ground, the ground as like four paws on the dog, as if my hands were down and I'm standing up, then, and I want you to just try that. So I imagine this clock on my arm, and I want you to feel, I'm going to put my fingers lightly on and just catch with the thumb. We'll come back to the heart chakra after, but so, and this middle finger is going to be where my focus is. So if I imagine like the ground would be toward my tips, and I did that, just try it. It gives me one feeling. If I'm lying on my side, my arm is down like this, and I start.
Linda, can you raise a little bit your arm?
Thank you. Oh my goodness, thank you, Teresa. So if I imagine like it's down and I make this sort of a circle, that has for me a logical feeling. If I start there at that point, which would be normally if my clock was facing with the six starting at the ground, I want you to go, just feel that in each direction. Feel what that feeling is. And I'm going to try both directions on that. I'm going to do both directions. This is so interesting because this arm is lying like this. It's an exception. If it was on my back, it would be much clearer if I'm lying on my side. Any feelings? There's no right and wrong. Just what any feelings that anybody has? Like, does it feel logical to you to start toward with the six toward the tips as though your hand was facing down? Some of you have had lots of experience with this. What is your, is there any difference in the feeling? Teresa, how about you?
Actually, when I do have my arm this way and I start like this.
Do you mean facing down or sideways?
Like sideways, yeah. Right. But for me, it is important that I first lift the skin and I'm not going down. This gives to me a very special feeling in my stomach when I first push it down. So for me, in any situation, any position I am, I do it to lift, to be sure if it is not in a vertical position. That's for me very important.
And if you were sideways like this, mm-hmm. and you start at three, like six would be down here.
For me, six would be down there, yeah.
Right. Now, when I start at, oops. Okay, here's our clock and my six would be turned. So my six is at the quarter point, you don't get as much lift, right?
Exactly. It is it's a side push,
release
in a certain way, yeah, instead of a lift. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not that there's a right or wrong here.
No, no. It's just my sensation of it. Yeah.
Exactly. It's interesting in the sensation. Yeah. The arm is, I mean, you really have to think about that in order to get that right. Marnie.
That's interesting to do this, but I can't do it. I can't reverse, you know, whatever you want to call it. I can't change it from the ground, you know, trying with your arm in, you know, I'm not saying it right, but I can't do it any other way but towards the ground, no matter what the position is. I guess I could work on it. I never thought about it before. And I don't know, I mean, Teresa is saying something, it's the lift. I don't know what it is, but I really can't do it.
It's fascinating. I totally understand that.
Hold up and can't sort of figure it out, you know, trying to do it the other way. I don't know. Anyway.
The point of this exploration is simply to bring awareness. And in some places, it doesn't matter so much. On the foot, if I'm working on a person lying that flat, and I would, the question is, would I start? Actually, this is another question. This is something that came up with Roland a couple of weeks ago, and I was thinking, he was actually tea-touching me, and he was working as though my foot were level, but it wasn't. It was kind of upward, and so it felt odd when he started at the top of the foot instead of the heel. But it doesn't matter. This just keeps coming to me because I was puzzling over this. So the big thing here is to just pay attention for me. And the basic answer, although Marnie's is different, is that if my arm is upright, like this, and I want to get this like scoop, it's like a scoop, it's a quarter circle from the imaginary 6 o'clock on this imaginary clock face that's there and come up. And because what Teresa said, you want to get that as much of a release, and that's what it is. It's the release that you get from the lift. Whereas if I'm, I'll have to come here to this arm. I'm going to put my 6 toward my fingertips. I have to say, when I stop consciously and think about it, it still feels better if I'm starting like in the direction of the fingers, even though there's not much of a lift. Teresa, in order to get a pull, you'd have to go counterclockwise, and then it would be a pull down. But if you're starting with your 6 o'clock up on the arm here and go clockwise, you still get a lot of an initial lift, only a quarter circle, but and not the whole as much as we got otherwise. But anyway, Marnie, is your hand still up for?
No, I had something else. This is really weird. I've had sensory integration stuff coming up since the surgery and all this stuff going on with me. And I got so tangled up trying to change it. And I had a funny feeling that that's linked to it. And maybe that would be really good for me to try to sort it out. But anyway, I don't know. I kind of think my sensory integration stuff interfered with my being able to not reverse it, but to change it. And And like you said about being mindful and being more invested in your, I'm not saying I'm on automatic, but maybe so. And so maybe this is the kind of thing that one needs to do in order to become more mindful.
Right. Because normally, look, if we have like Jewel's knee, when you're dealing with knee pain, the circles are so tiny, you'd think that it wouldn't make a difference. But I'm doing that now just on my own knee, just with my forefinger. I'm not moving yet, just one finger, which could be whichever is more comfortable for you. But for me, it's the longest one. And it makes, if I were to be lying on my side, I'm going to play with that up. Rowan, you got it. It's still toward the ground. It's the best feeling is in the line, for me, is the line toward the ground, except when I'm lying on my side and I'm working on a person on their side, then I have to go toward the ground. It's interesting. But just next time you're doing circles on yourself, just pay attention and see, just a few moments even of attention to this. So now I'd like to get back though to the question I had, because I think there's more here than we realize. And to imagine that clock on the wall for the heart hug, starting the heart hug. So if I just put this here, which we say all the time, there's this circle. Any thoughts? Just think. Imagine it up on the wall and putting it there, and then just start from the circle. And does anybody have any sense of what a difference might be that could have made it difficult, not work for Melody with her clients? Any thoughts? Any feelings? I thought somebody had their line open and said it, or I must have read somebody's mind. So what I, Rowan.
Energetic connection.
Pardon?
Energetic connection.
Now what's the first word?
Energetic.
Oh, energetic connection.
So you're setting your intention when you've imagined the clock and you set the intention and transfer that onto the person's body before doing the touch.
Right. Yes. And Teresa?
For me, having the hand for the heart hug and thinking that I'm going from 6 to 9 to 12 to 3 to 6 and then almost to 9. It's the numbers are in my hands, touching the numbers on my chest, but it's really complete for me. If I just do a circle and a quarter, it is okay. But with the numbers, it is like try three dimensional. How you can say it's complete, and it helps me to be really and thinking of both hemisphere. They need it, so for me it is a sort of it's okay like that.
Well, and when you say the both hemispheres, the left and the right hemispheres, we have a different, totally different activation if we imagine that clock putting there. What came to me, what I was thinking, I'm looking at the wall, and when I'm looking at the wall, I'm outside of myself. When I start on myself and only put that clock there, I'm really in this body. And if I'm feeling stressed or really out of sorts, and I just start with my body, it's not as valuable for me as if I take something outside and put it here, because I feel like I'm giving myself more help. Isn't that strange? I mean, I know that there's some feeling, some word about it. Hi, Valentina. And Megan, hi. We're just talking about the difference in the heart hug. If I was mentioning, maybe you were here, Valentina, when our care, you know, the therapist from the London hospital was saying that she was really successful with helping people get, you know, come into a state of, you know, of the parasympathetic rest and relax and recover when she took the clock off the wall. And the time that she didn't do that, then it didn't work as well. And I just thought there's something, and I think there's a word, a perspective to it, of taking something from the outside. And it's, in terms of left and right hemisphere, I think it's stronger when I imagine that clock up there and then put it here, because it's the imagining that activates the right brain. It's besides music, besides movement, besides color and sound, that just like imagining moving an object, imagining doing anything, we could imagine the sound and it would also have an effect, you know? Or imagine the color. All of that has an effect. And there's something more powerful when I start with something and bring it to my body. That's my hit on it. And Valentina, perhaps. Any thoughts? Anybody have any thoughts about that or any feelings about that?
You and know, what, Linda, as you were talking, one of the things that I started wondering about was when I take that clock, I tend to think of that with my fingers, I'm tracing the clock, and the clock is on the person or animal that I'm working on. And I also wonder if there's a piece there about connection between I'm now engaging with a pattern that's on their body rather than just, that's an interesting way to think about it.
Yeah, and that's how I feel when I bring the clock, imagined clock, to my body. I feel a stronger sense I've got something helping me from the outside. Isn't that strange?
Well, and it does make sense. We're using a different side of our brain, you know, that we're putting the whole animal to work rather than just part of ourselves.
Well, yeah, I mean, because it is, for me, it's a stronger imagination. Teresa?
Do I understand well that if you look at the clock on the wall and you have your hands on your chest, so you have the clock on up your hands, or do you have it under the hands?
No, it's on the chest.
Yeah, I was just thinking which could be the difference looking, and I will try that to see what happens when I look at a clock and have it from outside, then not under my hands in a certain way. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And unfortunately, that can be a misperception that comes because of the drawing in the book. The way... Uh-huh. The way in the drawing is so interesting. Yeah. So now we'll just leave this, because for me, it makes a huge difference when I look up at where I can see an imagined clock here, and I see the clock in my school classroom in the sixth grade when I was waiting to go riding and wishing that thing would go faster. That's so funny. Interesting. So what I would like to do is lead us in a heart hug. And I'd like us to close our eyes. And now imagine that you are finding some place on your own body that is asking for kindness, asking for a special attention. And just start on your chest and move your hands like I pick one part on my hand, and that's the part I'm marking. And it can be different parts on a different day. Imagine which part, and on me, it's the point on the side above my little finger. And I move that and I draw from the sixth. I'm going to go clockwise. So you can go the other way if you feel better about it. I'm going to really just very lightly mark all the way around to the sixth. And then I'm going to pause there and I'm going to very lightly move back. No, from the nine back to the sixth. And then think of that place on your body and imagine that as you are moving that hand around the face of the clock, that you're sending an energetic message to the part of your body that may sometimes be painful, may get stiff or tight, or maybe a place where you're holding fear. And very lightly, the lightest possible contact, send that feeling of appreciation to that area. And now take your hands off your chest and see if you can reach with some part of your hand and try different parts to see what is the most comfortable position of your hand to be able to do those basic T-touch circles into the area. And smile. As you're doing this, smile at the area. If it's internal, make the lightest possible, really small 1¼ circles, and imagine that at the end of your circle, you're like sending a light, like a laser light, into the area. And shine that all around with your circles into the area that's a problem. And if you have an area that you can feel, that you can actually do the touch so that you feel a little ouch, do that. Just with one ouch T-touch circle, and then do it lighter so you don't feel any ouch. And smile. I'm focusing and I'm not smiling. I want to send deep appreciation and love to that area in my body. And let's see what it would feel like to add, if you're not already doing it, 1 1/4. And then just come off a little bit lighter and right into the center of the circle. Send a little, like a little laser light. Or if your body likes a little more contact, do a little sponge in. And try different parts of your hand to see which part of your hand would be the most comfortable for you to do. And then if your hand gets tired from the way you're having to place it, pick another place on your body that's easy to reach and just imagine where your hand can rest and do T-touch on another part of your body that you're directing right into that area that would like your appreciation. And if you can send your love, smile and send love and forgiveness if this is a chronic thing, chronic issue. And when you're ready, just sit back and just be, breathe for and really feel a light. Just imagine lights lighting up all over your cells in your body from this attention you've given it. And remember the smile. Huh. So let's open our eyes when you're ready. And I would like us, if you're willing to do this, to just share what you worked on. And I'm going to share mine because, as we know, when we actually talk about it, when we share what we did, it's a strengthening, it's like a manifestation of actualizing the help that we can give it. And I'm going in right under my ribs here that for more than a year. I can't lie on my left side for more than 5 minutes because I have such a pain there. And as soon as I lie back flat or on the other side, it goes away. So I've only recently stopped ignoring it and started to actually send appreciation that it, you know, I don't know what it is, but it sure is painful when I do it, and it needs forgiveness. I mean, I need for whatever that is. So I encourage you, who would like to share, and what I was doing with the tea touches, I was using, wait, I want you to see this. I was going in with what we call the camel, the side of my fingers, and this is Teresa's tea touch because that's the one I did on her lower back like 18 years ago, and I still remember the session because it was late at night and amazing. So I stabilize with my thumb, so I don't just use the finger alone, I stabilize it with the thumb, and then I just move in like that. With that point, I'm circling and then going into the center with just this like movement of light into the cells. So who would like to share?
Linda, I have a question first. Yep. On the camel, when you say I'm stabilizing it with my thumb, do you mean on the inside or on the outside?
On the side.
Put it up really close to your picture if you can.
Oh.
For those of us who have old eyes.
Older. Can you see? Like I would go in. I'm trying to get that. So it's not my thumb. But my thumb is snugged right up.
So this is the part you've got up against?
Yes. Yeah. No, wait. See, your thumb.
Does that thumb go outside?
No, the thumb goes on the, right there. The tip of the thumb is right to the edge, but not quite.
Okay. And what you're actually using is right here.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's actually, yes, it's right along that side.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for asking for the clarification, because it makes a big difference where I put that.
Is it sort of stabilization of the finger for me?
Yes.
Can you see it? If you do it just like that, it doesn't. It's like when we hold right. our hand in yep. a position. So this is really helpful just to guide the camel with the thumb in that case. And it's right. very yeah.
And it's almost touching.
Yeah.
The nail. It's almost.
Linda, there's a question in the chat that I think might be important for you to answer right now. It says, why did you use the camel for that session? And what makes the decision on what technique you use?
Really good question. Now, if I would go in here with my, under the ribs, with my fingers, that's mm-hmm. really like pokey. And I don't want pokey. See there. I mean, and I like what other part I can, if I use my fingers, look at the really awkward thing of the position of the wrist. And if I didn't have that, what would I use? I mean, before we had the camel, I would be attempting to get in this way, like under there, can you see? And that's very uncomfortable for my shoulder joint. And it's too pokey, too direct. Valentina. But we can't hear you. You're still muted. There. Uh-oh, you have to turn up your sound. We'll get there. Now we lost you there.
No, Linda, she's still there. She's just further down, but we can't hear you yet, Valentina.
The pressure.
How's that?
Yes, perfect.
Yes.
I am a technological Dorftrottel, so sorry about that.
I like it.
Okay, one moment. I have to move somebody off my lap. I've been working on long COVID people who have trouble breathing with a diaphragm hold invented by Dr. Steve Kaufman. And it's called a lung boost. It really deepens breathing as per a pulse oximeter, deepens oxygenation. And you go to exactly that place using the web of the using the whole curve of the web of your hand, starting in the back. You can start as close to the spine, and you can do it with the hand this way or this way if it's more comfortable for you. And it even helps to make a whole half circle with the front by using your other hand. I tend to, for the front, use the outside edge. And you very gently push in and you very gently traction down. It's a diaphragm stretch and you hold for a release. And it looks like this. It really helps to do front and back at the same time.
Huh.
But you want to use this flat edge,
yeah,
and press in and lightly in and slight traction down and hold. And if you want to then take a few deep breaths, that can help as well. But hold without, I'm sorry, but without doing a T-touch.
No. Nope.
I mean, this particular technique, he doesn't know T-touch. So it's just in, down, and hold for a release. Yeah. And then do the other side. But you want to go all the way around, almost to the spine in the back.
Interesting.
It kind of looks like that. And you're under the costal margin, you're under the edge of the rib cage. So in the front, you're at a slight angle like that, or you could do the front with the, but thumb web is the answer to what you were saying. What other part of the hand could you use?
Yeah, and good point.
So
yeah.
And it just kind of fits.
Right, it fits under the rib.
It fits under the ribs.
Yeah. Thanks.
You're welcome.
While we're still on lungs real quick or in that area, one of the things I found real interesting as we were doing this, Linda, and you were talking about using those fingers, when I put those kind of in between those intercostals, I didn't feel that much. But when I laid it in as the camel and worked it that way, I could feel pain on both sides. And so what that tells me is going straight in with those fingers, I missed the part that really needed the work, which was more up at the top on the side. So that was really helpful for you to talk about both of those ways of doing it.
Great. And it's interesting because when I use the web part, it fits there nicely, but I don't find any discomfort. And it helps me to be able to find the discomfort and then back off from it. I don't know. Anyway, that's just one thing. So thank you for those, Valentina and Becky. And Marnie had her hand up first and then Teresa. Marnie's disappeared her hand.
I was going to do the question that was in the chat.
Oh, okay.
Becky did.
So we didn't answer it. Really?
You did answer it.
I did?
Yes.
Teresa, do you remember why I was working on you? I remember, but do you remember the session?
I remember just the benefit, and I canceled the reason. It is, I remember I do have, I don't have any issues in the low back anymore that what I had before. It's more on the hips and this part. But I wanted to say something from Valentina. I tried what she did, this position, as I can't do this position very strong because of the fingers. So I did half of it. And when I put the hand there, I made the circle and the quarter, and I went down. like she said, for stretching the diaphragm, it's a possibility, isn't it? With like a little bit like the turtle in a special position.
Okay, thank you. Oh, it's Valentina. You had again.
I had something to share when we get to the issue of what special place we were using the sending the light to.
Okay, that's it now.
Now, okay.
I'm just opening it for other people now. I just wanted to give you an example of what, you know, so.
Well, whenever it's my turn, let me know.
Now.
Oh. I was using the iliacus muscle, and the reason I was, wait, can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The reason I was I wanted to share this new book with all of you. I know that thanks to darling Eleanor, we are all psoas muscle fans now, and very in love with the psoas muscle. This is a book by a physiotherapist who specializes in the psoas muscle's forgotten sibling, you know, like the middle child. It's called, and I think it's going to be backwards. It's called Tight Hip, Twisted Core. And it's the key to unresolved pain. The physiotherapist who wrote it is called Christine Koth, or Koth, K-O-T-H, backwards, I guess.
No.
No, it's okay. Tight Hip, Twisted Core. Right. And even in the opening, she talks a lot about if you've been everywhere and had everything done to your psoas, and it's still not quite getting it or holding it, think about the iliacus, because often anatomically it's described as one thing called the iliopsoas, but the iliacus has to be released in a different way. And I'm having a lot of fun with the book. And so I went and worked on the iliacus. She talks a lot, and I missed the last class with Eleanor, so I don't know if Eleanor went into the idea that the thing that we all do nowadays is we sit at the computer for too long, we sit too much, and we drive for too long. Right. And that those things are what keep or reinitiate the psoas tightening and the iliacus tightening. And so she gives you ways to release it yourself, which is important. So I was doing the iliacus, which is the hip, you go to the front hip bone, and then you come inside and kind of go back against the bone. And that's where I was working. And on that side, I definitely felt a softening and a relaxation, especially in the internal organs. I started to get gurgling in the large intestine and stuff like that. I could feel that area relaxing. So that was an interesting thing. And the book is a lot of fun.
And does she use pressure or energy?
She uses sustained pressure. She has a little tool she's invented. She says it's almost impossible to get without the tool to get the right angle, although she says how you can lie on a ball face down to do it. She says if you can get a friend to do it by hand for you, that's very good. And she even says if you don't have a friend, go out and make a friend to do this for you.
Well, I don't know, maybe you missed the one. Eleanor is very, very much against using pressure in those areas.
Yes.
You know, so that's one reason I would say, Connie and Rowan, Eleanor Silverstein works with us on, does our once a month Saturday sessions. There's one coming up. It's going to be a really interesting one this Saturday. And so she's very much against using a lot of pressure in those particular areas, particularly the psoas. There are some places where I certainly use pressure. If it's on a joint that isn't inflamed, the real big difference. So anyway, thank you, Valentina. And I just want to remind you what Eleanor said about that. And so the use of a tool would be really interesting in hands that weren't, didn't really.
I too would recommend hands, even your own hands.
Yeah.
And using T-Touch. I just thought what's interesting about the book is her discussion of the muscle, how it affects knee, bunions, foot pain, digestive, all of that kind of stuff. The book is worth reading for that.
Isn't that amazing how we're all connected? And the thing that we don't talk enough about, actually, and T-Touch, we haven't over the years, is our use of energy. Because in those lighter T-Touches, when I say send the light in, that's just imagining sending that light in. And thought is energy. And that's all we have to do. And if we think the circle, and it's so light and you can't, and it's so tiny, this movement and this not breath, and I send my breath into it, it's fascinating. I mean, we really have to start bringing the acknowledgement of how we can use energy and how we do use it with every thought that we have, with every T-Touch that we have. And so when we imagine sending that in, and in some places we actually send it in with a sponge, when you sponge in, and others, if it's a sensitive area, it's right just barely. It might not even have to touch the body. And if you have an animal, which you're working with, that has a pain somewhere, you can even come off the body and make those various touches just with your mind. But I find if I'm doing that, even if it's on an animal or if it's on a person or an animal somewhere else where I can't even reach them, or maybe you're working in a shelter with animals and they're afraid, you can imagine T-touching them. And when I do that on myself, when I actually make the move on myself, I have a sense I can direct more of a connection. So I would really like to hear from others what you did with this. Megan, where did you work? Are you willing to share that?
Yes, I have a similar issue to you. I cannot sleep on my right side. And I had I took a fall off my first Frisian and landed on my right side, broke my clavicle, and have had since then, 12 years, I guess, almost like a hematoma, but a swelling on my right side. And I can feel that it's much bigger than my left side, right along my hip area. And sometimes it burns and sometimes it itches. And I went to that area. And I just did the leopard. I just did some nice, and it just stopped burning. I mean, it's periodic when it burns anyway, but it stopped burning. And it helped it. It felt much better doing that. But I want to try the Campbell. So that's what I did.
Great. And when you say leopard, you mean a lying leopard?
Yes, I mean, I think
the clouded.
So.
The
cloud, probably the clouded. Just this fingers bent. Just sort of went over there because it sticks out more than the other side. It's unbelievable. I show people in pants and they're like, oh my God, it's like huge, this right side. So anyway, be that as it may, our little, our scars, our battle scars. And, you know, I've tried different things to resolve it, and it has never resolved. But anyhow, so I bet you if I would be more consistent, that T-Touch would help with that.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe see what would happen when you are resting someplace or before, you know, when you get into bed, just say, okay, I'll give myself 3 minutes of T-Touch.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't commit. Don't make a big commitment.
Okay.
Just 2 minutes. And then you can just say to your body, I'm going to, either you can get interested and continue, or you can say, okay, I want that to continue now. I'm just going to imagine that that connection, that energy that there, those circles are going to continue while I sleep.
Ah, yeah.
And so it is.
Okay. All right, I like that. I shall.
And you might get interested and you know, just explore a little. And you might say, no, I'm going to give it over. You can call in one of your angels.
Okay, great idea. Thanks.
All right. So how was it for, let's see, Karen, how was it for you? How was that?
I was just getting ready to raise my hand.
Oh, great, perfect.
I thought I was under participants. And I thought, oh, there it is, raise hand. So mine is on the spine and that area between the shoulder blades that I can't reach. And so I did in back for a while, but then I came to the front and just very slowly, and then imagined it on the spine, and it was very effective. So
beautiful. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, for Connie and Rowan, when you can't reach someplace in the back, you can just come from the front area, come from another part, or if you've got some place, you know, on the body, and maybe you're okay on one side but not the other to touch it, you can start on that side that it's okay, opposite of it, and just work as gently, make the T-touches as gently as you would on the area that doesn't want to be touched because it may be painful. And it's really helpful working like that with injuries in the beginning. Ava?
I don't know. I just wanted to say that after the day I spent with Teresa, it feels clearer. And in terms of energy, you know, I can feel her touch as we're doing it. And it really amplified when it was more of an intellectual experience before. Now I have the emotional, the sensorial, and the energy of that day we spent together, and I feel a lot more, less in my head and more in my heart.
Beautiful, beautiful. So Connie and Rowan don't know that Ava's in Israel and Teresa's in Switzerland on the border of Italy, and Ava went and visited her.
And it's so wonderful to go beyond the screen, you know, and then to know, to see where Teresa is and her desk and her office, and it's that's all that's going to my mind and the emotions and sensations. It's very different than before.
Nice, thank you.
You
we can say we are only a T-touch from home. Exactly. From home to home. Thank you, Eva. Thank you very
much. And I wanted to say something and thank you for the what we talked about 2 weeks ago about breathing. And I did as you advised, and now I sleep with a tape on my mouth. And I've been doing this for now 3 weeks, and it changes everything. I sleep better. I can, my mouth is not dry. I don't need to drink all the time during the night and to go out to pee. And I'm reading the book also, and it's just wonderful. I'm having a great time. I was reading the book of James Nestor, To Breathe. And thank you very much.
It was really, I'll show this to you. Just and Sage, hi, welcome. Nice to see you. Now, I wanted to show you. I sent this to a couple of people. It was, where am I here? Okay. Just takes a moment to pull up my pictures and show you this. I have to really laugh at it. I hope you laugh too.
Uh-huh.
Here we are. Okay, now screen share. I have to get this. Oops. Just, there we go. That's my night way. The KT is part. I've been using these physio strips that I got for a corn that I had on the bottom of my foot, and it really helped. Isn't that? I was using a huge strip. I mean, I first made it from, you know, the cloth tape from under my nose to under my chin, and actually, I even cut it down less than this now. So for those of you who maybe not following that, wait, stop the screen share. What it does is train you to breathe through your nose. And I've also been doing those exercises that he does. They have many exercises in this book, Breathe. And I found out there are other books too. I'm going to start reading some of the other books. But in that book, Breathe by James Nestor, he's a guy who had really terrible, serious allergies and lung issues since he was a child. And he went and worked with a Stanford University researcher and was going through all these different methods of breathing around the world of helping. And it's absolutely fascinating. I'm listening to it now. I started.
And it's so funny, too. It's really, he has a great sense of humor.
And he's an amazing writer. He's a writer also. And boy, is he a good one. So thank you for sharing that. Yes, we'll just do, Catherine, how are you? Tell us something, how you're using the T-Touches.
She said she was at work and couldn't talk.
Oh, okay. Right.
If there's more than one Catherine, but...
No, there's only one. Thank you.
She put that in the chat earlier.
I see. Okay, great. Okay, so let's take our break. And then we'll take a 10-minute break. It's 12 after the hour, wherever you are. 12 after 3 here. So we'll come back at 22 after... See you then.